All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is April 5th, year 2010, and it's Easter Monday. Christ is truly risen. And don't let the Jews lie to you. And speaking about lying Jews, we're going to go right to bat against one of the lying Jews. The Prime Minister of Israel, apostate Israel, the apostate Benjamin Netanyahu, just recently on March 22nd, 2010, at an AIPAC convention in the United States, that's the main Israeli lobby that keeps everybody in line to serve Israel. So the harlot gives her adoration to the beast by either giving people financial money if they obey Israel, and or pulling back that money if they do not obey Israel. It's the most powerful political committee in this country, and it's what keeps all the politicians in line and puts them in fear. If you don't serve Israel, AIPAC comes after you by either withholding donations or even going out and causing other political candidates to run against them, and they finance those campaigns. So AIPAC is a very big, probably one of the most biggest organizations that's bringing Antichrist to power and keeping all these greedy United States Freemasonic Protestants and so-called Catholics who are apostates and in line with giving obedience to apostate Israel. But it was very important what he did say at this particular meeting. It's something I've been at this convention, and I've been saying this from the beginning, that the whole argument over who does Jerusalem belong to or Israel belong to is a key argument. It's one of the main biggest arguments, and it has everything to do with religion. Political aspects, for secular people, they have political motives, but ultimately everything that happens in this world has to do with religion. Either the true God is supporting it with his true religion, or the devil is supporting it with his false religion and his false gods. Everything has to do with religion. And Jerusalem has always been known to be the center of the world. Of this world, and it really is. It's where the Jews in the Old Covenant instituted the state and the capital so that they can make the God of Israel manifest to the world, and then eventually Jesus Christ the Messiah. Well, just recently, we know already that Israel is illegally occupying Palestine according to the UN protocols and also according to the Geneva Convention. And so they're going against international law. And East Jerusalem, technically according to international law, belongs to the Palestinians. And the Israelis are already illegally occupying quite a bit of land of the Palestinians, even according to international law. It's not enough for them to just stop building, they have to pull out. I went over this before about if Canada invaded Montana, and the United States would be in an uproar. They would start fighting against Canada until they get out of Montana. It's not sufficient to give them half of Montana and say, okay, we'll settle, you can just occupy half of Montana. So they're already illegally occupying Israel, parts of Jerusalem and Israel, against international law. But that's not the most important thing. But that's important for us to bring up the hypocrisy of the world leaders that are punishing Israel severely for what they're doing. They're letting them get away with murder. Israel will go two steps forward by building two settlements, then back off and dismantle one settlement. They gained one. Then they'll go forward another two steps and go back one. They gained another settlement. Illegal occupation. Or, we said before, they'll freeze building, because they just, when Obama came to, just before Obama came to power, they started to build. Then they agreed to maybe freeze. We'll just hold off for a while and not continue with that settlement. And then they go forward one step and then freeze. Go forward one step and freeze, or forward two and back one. Point is, they're always gaining. Now, that's according to international law. So they're even breaking international law, and all the world leaders that are so meticulous, from Palestine or anybody else, a weaker country, violate some international law, they put embargoes on them, they start screaming and yelling how we're going to stop sending them food and oil, we're going to start maybe even go to war against them. Oh, but when Israel speaks up, everybody stays quiet. Because Israel is bringing the Antichrist to power as the most powerful force in the world, the apostate Jews. They control the economics of this world. And when you control the economics and the money of this world and the majority of the real estate and businesses, you control the people. Because most people idolize money. Remember Jesus said, you can't serve God or mammon. And if you love money more than God, the Jew got you in his back pocket. And so he controls the whole world. He's the one that determines what's going to be in libraries, how much your interest rates are going to be, what businesses should get loans. Who doesn't know it? They control who has jobs and who doesn't have jobs. They have the power to call people up and get people fired if they go against the apostate Jews and their plan of bringing Antichrist to power. So there's a big hypocrisy there. But this particular lecture, I don't want to concentrate on that. I'm going to now talk about the most important issue as to why the apostate Jews have no right to Jerusalem and Israel. And that's because they don't believe in the true God. They don't have any right from God, the Catholic God, to own Jerusalem or to own Israel. Ownership of Israel is the most important thing when it comes down to, because Israel was created. Jerusalem was created by God's chosen people during the Old Covenant era, who were by faithful Jews. At that time it was called the synagogue and the true religion of Judaism, created Israel so that God can be made manifest to the world as the one true God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and pave the road for Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So that when he comes, he is then going to be the one that institutes a new covenant, all right? He replaces the old church with a new church, the old covenant with the new covenant, and all their old religion of Judaism with Catholicism. And then at that particular part, when Christ died on the cross, Jerusalem and Israel then went over to ownership to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church then were the only ones who had the permanent right from God to own Jerusalem and Israel. I say permanent right. Back in the Old Covenant era, the Jews are the ones that had the permanent right of ownership of Israel and Jerusalem. I say permanent because they didn't always possess Israel or Jerusalem, because if they disobeyed God, and you had a lot of bad Jews and evil Jews, God punished them by casting them out of Jerusalem and out of Israel and bringing them into captivity. For instance, the Babylonian captivity, when King Nebuchadnezzar went in there and destroyed the temple and burned it down and took the Jews into Babylon. Because God said, now you don't have the temporary right of ownership. I'm going to give it into the hands of the king of Babylon to punish you. The permanent right, though, still belonged to the Jews. But they were being temporarily punished by banishment. So this goes to show you that the only people that have the permanent right to ownership are God's chosen people, which during the Old Covenant era in his church was the synagogue and it was the Jews. During the New Covenant era, God's only chosen people are Catholics in the Catholic Church. And the only people that have the right during the New Covenant era to actually possess Israel are faithful Catholics. And when Catholics go bad to a big extent, they even get casted out of Jerusalem and Israel, and they don't even possess it. But we're talking about permanent ownership here. Israel and Jerusalem was made holy by God right from the beginning, and then it was sanctified by the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity who died in Jerusalem and shed his blood in Jerusalem, all right, to sanctify it and to form the new covenant. So the first thing I tell people, if you call yourself a Catholic, and most people who call themselves Catholic today are not Catholic at all. I'll give an example like Pat Buchanan. He's an apostate Catholic. He's not a real Catholic. He thinks he is, but he's not. He's a half-Zionist. Who do I mean by a half-Zionist? A half-Zionist comes out and says, I believe Palestine has a right to Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, and Talmud apostate Jews have the right to West Jerusalem and the other part of Jerusalem. Well, no, the Jews have no right to Jerusalem at all. None. And the minute you even accede to any right of ownership of Jerusalem by apostate Jews, you're an apostate and you're a heretic because they deny Christ. Jesus said, once you deny him, the only people that have the right to own Jerusalem are Catholics. Christ-denying Jews that did not accept their Messiah have no right from God to Jerusalem at all, or Israel, not even the littlest piece of land do they have a right to occupy. In the beginning of the 20th century, when Zionists were making great progress towards their goal of repossessing Israel, Pope Pius X repeated the Catholic Church's condemnation of Zionism. We quote from a Jewish source, the Jerusalem Post, the Pope's visit, Hoping for the Best, by Michael S. Arnold, May 25th, year 2000. Quote, in 1896, at the start of the campaign to build international support for a Jewish national home, Theodor Herzl turned to the Vatican officials in Vienna, only to get a frosty reception. Granted an audience with Pope Pius X in 1904, Herzl was told, according to his diaries, quote, we are unable to favor this movement. We cannot prevent the Jews from going to Jerusalem, but we could never sanction it. The ground of Jerusalem, if it were not always sacred, has been sanctified by the life of Jesus Christ. As the head of the Catholic Church, I cannot answer you otherwise. The Jews have not recognized our Lord, therefore we cannot recognize the Jewish people. If the Jews did reach the shores of Palestine, that Pope says, churches and priests would be waiting to baptize them. End quote.
Pope Pius X merely repeated the eternal decree from God that only faithful Jews have the right to own the promised land, which is Israel. Anyone who honestly observes how God has punished the apostate Jews since the fall of the temple in 70 AD will know that these Jews are cursed and do not have the right from God to possess and own Israel. A Catholic commentary on Psalm 40:11 says, quote, Christ will render everyone according to his deserts. No one is ignorant of the destruction of Jerusalem and the miserable condition of the Jews throughout the world, end quote. And again, only the Catholic Church has a permanent right from God during the New Covenant era to possess Israel and its capital, Jerusalem. The very purpose of the Crusades was to uphold this dogma by defending Jerusalem as a possession of the Catholic Church and by liberating it when it was conquered by non-Catholics. I quote from parts of Pope Urban II's sermons that called for the First Crusade, which liberated Jerusalem from the hands of the infidels, the Muslim Turks. The First Crusade took place from 1096 to 1099 AD. Quote, let the Holy Sepulchre of the Lord our Savior, which is possessed by unclean nations, especially incite you, and the holy places which are now treated with ignominy and irreverently polluted with their filthiness, O most valiant soldiers. Enter upon the road to the Holy Sepulchre. Wrest that land from the wicked race and subject it to yourselves, Catholics. That land which, as the scripture says, floweth with milk and honey, was given by God into the possession of the children of Israel. Jerusalem is the navel of the world. The land is fruitful above others, like another paradise of delights. This the Redeemer of the human race has made illustrious by his advent, has beatified by residence, has consecrated by suffering, has redeemed by death, has glorified by burial. This royal city, therefore, situated at the center of the world, is now held captive by his enemies, which today is apostate Jews and still Muslims, and is in subjection to those who do not know God, to the worship of the heathens. She seeks, therefore, and desires to be liberated, and does not cease to implore you to come to her aid. Holy men do not possess those cities. Nay, base and bastard Turks hold sway over our brothers. The blessed Peter first preached as bishop at Antioch. Behold, in his own church, the Gentiles have established their superstitions. Antioch belongs to the Catholic Church. Of Holy Jerusalem, brethren, we dare not speak, for we are exceedingly afraid and ashamed to speak of it. This very city in which, as you all know, Christ himself suffered for us because our sins demanded it, has been reduced to the pollution of paganism, and I say it to our disgrace, withdrawn from the service of God, the God of the Catholic Church. Yet in that place, I say only what you already know, rested the Lord. There he died for us. There he was buried for us. Under Jesus Christ, our leader, may you struggle for your Jerusalem, the Catholics' Jerusalem, in Christian battle line, most invincible line, even more successfully than did the sons of Jacob of old. Struggle that you may assail and drive out the Turks, more execrable than the Jebusites, who are in this land. And may you deem it a beautiful thing to die for Christ and that city which he died for us. Short is the way, little the labor, which nevertheless will repay you with the crown that fadeth not away. Accordingly, we speak with the authority of the prophet. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, Almighty One. Gird yourself, every one of you, I say, and be valiant, sons, for it is better for you to die in battle than to behold the sorrows of your race and of your holy places. Your holy places. He's talking to Catholics. Catholic holy places. Most beloved brethren, if you reverence the source of that holiness, and you cherish these shrines, which are marks of Jesus Christ's footprints on earth, if you seek the way, God leading you, God fighting in your behalf, you should strive with your utmost efforts to cleanse the holy city Jerusalem and the glory of the sepulchre, now polluted by the concourse of the Gentiles, he means here non-Catholics, as much as is in their power. If therefore you are zealous in the practice of holy battles, in order that, just as you have received the seed of knowledge of God from Jerusalem, you may in the same way restore the borrowed grace, so that through you the Catholic name may be advanced to oppose the perfidy of the Antichrist and the Antichristians. Consider, therefore, that the Almighty has provided you for this purpose, that through you he may restore Jerusalem from such debasement. Ponder, I beg you, how full of joy and delight our hearts will be when we shall see the holy city restored. To who? To the Catholic Church. With your little help and the prophet's nay divine words fulfilled in our times. Moreover, you who are to go shall have us praying for you. We shall have you fighting for God's people, Catholics. It is our duty to pray, yours to fight against the Amalekites. With Moses, we shall extend unwearied hands in prayer to heaven, while you go forth and brandish the sword like dauntless warriors against Amalek. End quote. Regarding the reoccupation of Palestine by the Catholic Crusaders, Pope Innocent III speaks of this in regards to the Fourth Crusade, and I quote from Ville Hardouin, who was a leader of the Fourth Crusade and an eyewitness, from his memoirs in his book, The Conquering of Constantinople. Pope Innocent III was very anxious for a new crusade and offered large privileges. He wrote, "If men perish, and if the churches are weakened, if the poor are oppressed, all this is of less consequence than the loss of Palestine." End quote. And that was from chapter 1, number 2, which goes to show you how he understood the utmost importance of the Catholic Church always striving to take possession of Jerusalem and Israel.
So a Catholic, a so-called Catholic who says he's a half Zionist or supports some type of ownership of Israel, and he's saying they have a right. That's heresy. Now, sometimes you can't stop it. You have to tolerate it. God is allowing it, and we're going to get into the reason why God is allowing them to occupy Jerusalem and Israel to bring the Antichrist to power. You're going to remember in the final days, our Lord said, there's going to be a day when an abomination of desolation is standing in a place where it does not belong. And he's talking about Jerusalem because he says when that happens, flee from the temple in Jerusalem and Judea. And he's really talking about the ultimate abomination of desolation, which is the Antichrist, sitting in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. For that to happen, the apostate Jews have to occupy Israel, which they, and then conquer Jerusalem. They occupied Israel and it became a state in 1947. Then they occupied Jerusalem in 1967. And they need to do these things. But it's evil. No, anybody who calls himself a Catholic cannot support this. And so the main reason when we go against these Jews is to say you have no right from God to occupy even the littlest part of Jerusalem or Israel. Well, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, speaking with the spirit of the Antichrist and speaking with the spirit of Satan and with the unclean spirit like unto a frog, that's mentioned in Apocalypse 16, I saw out of the mouth of a dragon and out of the mouth of a beast and out of the mouth of a false prophet, three unclean spirits like unto frogs going forth to seduce all the kings of the earth. All right, and so we're gathering together to battle against the great day of Almighty God. Let's get that quote so I get it right in there and read it exactly right. Apocalypse 16, 12 to 13. Okay. And I saw from the mouth of the dragon and from the mouth of the beast and from the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are the spirits of devils working signs, and they go forth into the kings of the whole earth to gather them to battle against the great day of Almighty God. These particular people gather almost every king in the whole earth, and unclean spirits, the dragon is Satan, the beast is the Antichrist, the false prophet is a fallen away, as a so-called Catholic pope, he's not a real pope, he's going to be an apostate anti-pope who directs all the nations towards Israel and completely repudiates Catholicism. I'm saying Benjamin Netanyahu speaking with a spirit of this unclean spirit like onto a frog, because he's speaking for the Antichrist. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's speaking with the spirit of the Antichrist. We're going to face down one of the major bulls that is bringing Antichrist, and we call him a bullfrog. He's possessed by an unclean spirit like unto the frog, speaking for Satan and the Antichrist. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, just came out in March, and he said, right out, Jerusalem belongs to us Jews. And what does us Jews mean? Christ denying Jews, apostate Jews, Talmudic Jews, who don't accept Jesus Christ.
The Jewish people were building Jerusalem 3,000 years ago, and the Jewish people are building Jerusalem today. Jerusalem is not a settlement. It's our capital.
No, Mr. Netanyahu, it does not belong to you Jews. It belongs to Catholics and even only to good Catholics. You Jews have no right to Jerusalem. You're no longer God's chosen people. You're sons of the devil. And I'm going to face you down like a bull also. Two pit bulls going at it. And I'm going to smash your head on this topic. And I'm doing it, and I'm trying to embolden other people out there who've been afraid like your Gary Potters to wake up and stop playing around. Even Obama's got more courage than you, and he's a wimp too. I'm not making excuses for him, but he's not as bad as you people are.
Exactly.
He at least walked out on that bullfrog when he came. Because you're real. According to international law, East Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinians.
Yeah.
The Geneva Convention, there are 49 in the UN.
Yeah.
He's breaking international law, but more importantly, he's breaking religious law. He's breaking religious law. He has no religious claim to Jerusalem. That's the main claim I stand on here. When he came out at AIPAC and said, Jerusalem belongs to us. And the us he's talking about is apostate, Christ-denying Jews. Talmudic Jews who created their false religion of Talmudic Judaism. He claimed ownership, and he claimed it not as a political right, but he claimed it as a religious right, because he said 3,000 years ago, we were building Jerusalem, and at that point they did have a permanent right. It was before Christ came. He says, and so now we're building it, but no, now you don't have the right. Since Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, Christ replaced the old covenant. Christ, the old covenant died and rose as the new covenant. The Jewish race as God's chosen people died and rose as Christians, as God's only chosen people during the New Covenant era. And only Catholics are true Christians. The synagogue died and rose as the Holy Catholic Church. Judaism died and rose as Catholicism, as the only true religion during the New Covenant era. The Levitical priesthood died and rose as the Melchizedek priesthood, found only in the Catholic Church. The unbloody animal sacrifices died and rose as the unbloody and clean sacrifices of Jesus Christ upon Catholic altars. The Sabbath day on Saturday died and rose as the Lord's Day on Sunday. Jewish ownership of Israel and Jerusalem died and rose as Catholic ownership of Israel and Jerusalem. And the denial of any one of these dogmas, these are dogmas from the Catholic Church infallibly taught by popes, speaking with your charism of infallibility, will knock a Catholic out of the Catholic Church for heresy and apostasy. We're now going to quote what happens when a Catholic denies one dogma. By Pope Leo XIII's encyclical Satis Cognitum. The Church has always regarded as rebels and expelled from the ranks of her children all who held beliefs on any point of doctrine different from her own. The Arians, the Montanists, the Novitians, the Quattrodecimians, the Eutychians did not certainly reject all Catholic doctrine. They abandoned only a certain portion of it. Still, who does not know that they were declared heretics and banished from the bosom of the Church? There can be nothing more dangerous, and yet by one word as a drop of poison, infect the real and simple faith taught by our Lord and handed down by apostolic tradition. St. Augustine notes that other heresies may spring up. To a single one of which, should anyone give his assent, he is by that very fact cut off from the unity of the Church. If anyone holds to one single one of these heresies, he is not Catholic. That's the ipso facto automatic excommunication that takes place without the need of a declaration from any superior competent judge. Anyone. Therefore, if you say apostate Jews that deny Jesus Christ have the right to Jerusalem, you are not only a heretic, you're apostate. It's denying all the dogmas in the Catholic Church and denying Christ himself, who died in Jerusalem and made it holy by his most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity. And at that point, Jerusalem was handed over. Remember our Lord said, the vineyard verse, when he said to the Jews, I'm going to give my vineyard over to others because you are going to reject me, and I will then turn my vineyard over to others. You apostate Jews are going to reject me. I'm going to give my vineyard over to the Catholic Church, my new church, which takes the place of the synagogue, which is dead and no longer existing. It's, even though you had some, the synagogue, the church teaches, there was a period of time in which the Catholic Church allowed the synagogue and true Judaism to die a peaceful death, like a calm death. They were already dead, but they weren't deadly. After the temple fell in 70 AD, all these things were then poisonous and even deadly if you practiced them. But you're going to read about Jesus when he told the Jews, he warned them, that you no longer are going to have ownership of Jerusalem and Israel. We read in Mark 12, 9 to 2. What therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy those husbandmen and give the vineyard to others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. Jesus is saying, I am the stone. I am the cornerstone. You are the builders under the old covenant who prepared the road for me. You know, the Israel was created, Jerusalem was created, the temple was created, the animal sacrifices were created, the rituals were created to bring Christ the power, the cornerstone. And he says, because you Jews are going to reject me, the cornerstone, I am now going to give my vineyard to others. A Catholic commentary on this says, in Mark 12, by this question, Christ shows that they were about to fulfill his prophecy by casting them off, planning his death and delivering it up to the Gentiles, by which he became the cornerstone, joined the two people of the Jews and Gentiles together, forming out of them one city and one temple of the faithful, the Holy Catholic Church. The church is the corner, joining together Jews and Gentiles, the Holy Catholic Church. The head of it is Christ. By the Lord has this been done in our days, and it is wonderful in our eyes seeing the prodigies which Christ has performed. And then we read the Douay commentary on that verse. The Jews and their guides to whom the vineyard was set were destroyed, and God's vineyard was given to the apostles and their successors and the Gentiles. Also, the Jewish people were no longer God's chosen people. The chosen people were now Catholics. Those are God's only chosen people during the New Covenant era, both Jews and Gentiles. So Catholic Jews and Catholic Gentiles are now God's chosen people during the New Covenant era. But it's the Catholic part that makes you the chosen person of God. And also Gentiles were now treated equally to the Jews. There was no distinction between Jew nor Gentile. St. Paul said that there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. You're now all equal in the eyes of God. Gentiles will now start ascending to the high ranks in the church and eventually took over the highest ranks of the church, and the Jews were casted down to show that the vineyard was turned over to others. So when you hear a guy like Benjamin Netanyahu, this apostate bullfrog, demon, devil, telling people that Jerusalem is ours, I say no. Jerusalem is ours. It belongs to us. You are allowed to occupy it in these final days because you are precisely an abomination of a desolation. And you are preparing it for your Christ, who we all know, let's not kid one another, is not Jesus Christ. Because you, sir, don't believe in him. And why is nobody taking him to task? Why didn't you hear the righteous indignation raised up from the so-called Catholics in the conciliar church and the traditionalist movement and the Sede Vacantis heretics? They're not real Catholics. They don't say anything. They sit back and, if best, they argue, well, let's share Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem doesn't even belong to the Muslims. I'm not even sporting their right to it. They don't have a right to it. They got that stupid mosque up there, where the temple was. And God allowed that to punish bad Catholics. Because when Catholics stopped fighting for Jerusalem around the 13th century, the 14th century, and they no longer went on crusades to occupy the Holy Land, it was all over. That was part of the sign of the great apostasy already began in the 14th century. Because once the Catholics developed the Holy Roman Empire with Constantine, it was then their duty to occupy the Holy Land. Their desire was always to occupy it. The Catholic desire was always, if you were to ask them, Jerusalem belongs to us. It was made holy by Christ. Israel belongs to us. And as soon as we get an army, we're going to go get it. We're going to go take it. As soon as God sees fit through a Constantine to give us an army. And God did. When Constantine converted, and he was converting, and then did convert, and his mother, St. Helena, went into that Jerusalem in Israel and knocked down all the pagan temples built by pagan Rome and built up Christian churches and found the Holy Cross. That was God telling us that this particular land was made holy by Christ. It's now the permanent right existed the minute Christ died on the cross of the Catholic Church owning Jerusalem. And now we were actually occupying it in the 4th century. And then the Crusaders, even when there were scribbles back and forth, when Catholics were not as good as they should be, God allowed Jerusalem to be taken away, the Crusaders went back and forth for it again. Because that's a holy place. Our main home was in Rome, and God did that on purpose, so he showed that there was also a transfer from Jerusalem to Rome as God's main home, like Saturday's no longer the holy day, Sunday is. The old covenant's no longer in effect, the new covenant. So Rome was the main home, but Jerusalem was still the most holiest place on the earth, and it belonged to Catholics. God had done miracles on the first crusade when they were going to occupy the Holy Land and Jerusalem, and at Antioch, they found the spear of Longinus, miraculously through a prophecy from a holy monk who had a dream, and they were being surrounded by the Muslims, and they were under siege, and they were starving, they were going to die, and this monk had the dream, and they went in and found the Lance of Longinus, just as the monk had dreamed about it, and then went out the next day from the siege of Antioch, and not with a small army compared to the Muslims, and all the heavenly hosts of God came down and fought with the Catholic crusaders. And the Muslims even testified to this, that they saw this army fighting for Catholics. What does that tell you? That's the true God, the Catholic God, who is the God of Israel, telling the people that Jerusalem and Israel belongs to the Catholic Church as a permanent right. And they had a miracle even when they went in to take Jerusalem, because the Muslims knocked down all their trees so they could have no wood to build siege towers. And guess what happens? One of the crusaders goes and he finds a big pit dug, and in that pit there's all wood to build siege towers. I can go on and on, telling you about how God is telling people in the world that the only people that have the permanent right to Jerusalem and Israel is the Catholic Church. No, we don't always occupy it, because God punishes us like he punished the Jews in the Old Covenant era. Who would deny that Jerusalem and Israel, the promised land, didn't belong to Jews in the Old Covenant era? We all know it did, but were Jews always occupying Israel and Jerusalem? No. When there was not enough good Jews in the Old Covenant era, they were casted out temporarily. Same thing with Catholics. My point is, what this guy just said here is so bad and so evil, most people don't even realize it. That's why I'm giving this sermon. Did you hear the rat man, the apostate, sniveling, perverted, pedophile-defending rat man in Rome saying anything? Not only does he not say anything, apostate anti-pope John Paul II said, you have a right to Jerusalem. You have a right to Israel. You who deny Christ. You who say, I don't believe in your Messiah. I believe Jesus is a phony. It's no good for the Jew to come out and say, well, I just think Christ was a nice man. No, you'd have to be honest and say he's either a liar, he was insane, or he was because he claimed to be God and the Messiah. Anything short of acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Son of God is blasphemy. And he doesn't see anything wrong in this claim. A Pat Buchanan and all these so-called Catholics that are apostates sit back and argue about equal ownership, half Zionists. That's not sufficient neither. Muslims don't even belong there. And if it's within our power eventually, and there's a situation in which we can get the upper hand and knock the Muslim out, he's out too. And to explain to you what the situation is, if Catholics, and when they have ruled Jerusalem and Israel, they don't allow any public worship of false gods or false idols. They don't allow the building of any mosques. They don't allow the building of any synagogues. Every Muslim or Jew that would be living in Catholic Jerusalem would have to practice their false religion in private in their own homes. That's how the Catholic Church handles it. Sorry, pal, you have no right to build a mosque in Jerusalem. You have no right to build a Protestant church in Jerusalem. You have no right to build a synagogue, an apostate synagogue in Jerusalem. But we will not kill you if you're living in there. You have to practice your false religion and worship your false god in your homes privately. That's how the Catholic Church would handle it, because it belongs to the Catholic God. There's many proofs of that. This is not a small thing that happened. Everybody sits back. Now, even according to the political community of today, we're going to go into that. Brother Will's going to do a news report on that. He's going to handle that. How they're even going against the world community that says, at least according to their secular worldly standards, is saying at least Jerusalem should be shared by the Palestinian and the Jews. They're violating international law even on this issue. And nobody's getting up in arms on it. Now, Obama did do something. And I give him a little credit on this, because and even Clinton, they did stand up against them on this issue, and they did resist them because he's going to feel the wrath of them. But it's what I already said in my sermon, ARS 175. Obama's like a dove; he's not hawkish enough on the Zionist issue. He's a half Zionist, and at the same time, he's going to be correct on opposing him on this according to international law. He's also more immoral than the Republicans, and the Republicans have another problem of greed and capitalism, but he's going to get God more angry because he's going to more or less, what's happening today, condoning homosexual marriages and all that, but he rightly is opposing the Antichrist. So this whole thing's going to happen. It's a two-pronged thing that's happening. And it's going to get the Jews angry enough to want to come in here and burn up this harlot and destroy it. Because ultimately, a lot of people are beginning, some people are waking up, even though they don't look at this from a religious aspect, they're looking at Israel's arrogance. They're looking at apostate Israel's lies. About every time they come together and they say, we care about peace. Well, if you do, give up the land you're illegally occupying. How can it, even on a Charlie Rose show, on one of the shows tonight, he was interviewing the Israeli ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren. Yep. And he said, Michael Oren is trying to say, well, we are trying to make progress on a settlement issue, and we're going to maybe freeze it. He goes, and get back to this particular zone and give him back this land. And Charlie Rose says, but you agreed to that in 1948. You're occupying land since 1948 that you said we are not going to take. So why should anybody sit down at the table and talk to you if you're not even going by the 1948 agreement? Why? Why should I talk to you? You're not abiding by the 48 agreement. You keep inching forward. Everybody can, a lot of people can see it now. My sermon is to try to wake these people up and to take a look at the most lionest people that ever walked the face of the earth other than so-called Catholics. They're now worse than the Jews. So they both are battling for primacy as to who's more evil. And it's the so-called Catholics more evil than the Jew even. All right? So, this particular thing that you're seeing happen is necessary, though, for Antichrist to come to power, and God is allowing it. All right? But at the same time, where's the outrage? You only hear from people like us. Where's the outrage of coming out and telling the full truth in a matter? Of anybody, I would say, in the whole world that doesn't belong in Israel, it's the apostate Jews. Muslims before them. Why do you think God allowed the Muslims to have it for so long, and not the Jews? Because they're on the bottom of the whole list, because they rejected their Redeemer. They rejected our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where is the outcry? Where is the raising up of the voice? The Vatican II Church instead says, an apostate anti-pope John Paul II, you have a right to Israel. You have a right to Jerusalem. You're God's chosen people. You're under a covenant with God. Has he not denied every one of these dogmas I just read to you? If the apostate Jews are still God's chosen people and they're under a covenant, Jesus Christ is a fraud. He is not God. He did not institute the new covenant. He did not end the synagogue and replace it with the Catholic Church. He didn't replace Judaism with Catholicism. People, can't you see what we're talking about here? Keep your eyes on the bullseye. It's always the religious issue. So don't listen to these other people that call themselves Catholics or not speaking as I am on this issue or any other issue. Why are they afraid of Israel for? Because they're in total power. They didn't come to total power by their own wiles. It's Satan that's helping them. The full power of Satan and the devil was given to help apostate Jews come to power. And then a lot of people know. Even Richard Nixon would say, you go against a Jew. It's like, even now, he was talking to Billy Graham about it years ago. And they knew the Jews were in power, and they were afraid to talk about it. We even know about it now. That backroom conversation. He said it's like the fly on the wall. It's going to get back to the Jew, because the devil goes back and tells him. The devil's present. Even your presence goes all over the place. And he goes and reports to the Jew what these guys are saying. They go, this is uncanny. Every time we start going against the Jew, our plots get revealed. They know. I'm trying to tell you people, the only way out is to come into the Catholic Church so the Catholic God can prevent them from having the upper hand on you. Our prayers in here, as few Catholics, is making it possible for you out there to see these things. Mel Gibson would never be able to do the Passion movie if we weren't praying for him and praying all these years, us few Catholics, and petitioning God to lift the Amos curse. It's God assures us of that. Salvation comes through faithful Catholics on earth offering up prayers to God, confessing their sins, the sins of their fathers, and making reparation. And that's why even Obama was able to resist Netanyahu. He did. I compliment them on that issue. And even Clinton. And even Biden. They did condemn him. They didn't go far. Biden, because he's a so-called Catholic, is worse. He should have really took the religious stance. But nevertheless, they did condemn this recent occupation of East Jerusalem. Because they did. They occupied. They're starting to build settlements in East Jerusalem and taking up more land. And that's why Netanyahu came up and said, well, wait a second. Jerusalem belongs to us completely. Now he made another step. So he's going even further. And he's not afraid to say that. What peace agreement can there be? And then the Muslims come out because they occupied more of their land and had a rocket attack against Israel and started throwing rocks at the Jews. And then the Jews came out and said, we will not settle for this aggression upon our land. They're attacking us again with rockets and they're throwing stones at us. Well, wouldn't you if somebody stole your home, a whole city, and completely not plowed down your homes and kicked your people out? Who's the aggressor in this issue? And you notice, before the rocket attack and the stone throwing, there was peace. There was no suicide bombings, there was no rocket attacks. Put two and two together, pal. They went in and took their land, more land in East Jerusalem. And then the Palestinians are getting angry and they're striking back in self-defense. Nothing, they weren't doing anything before that for quite a while. So now you're looking at the bullseye as to who started this one. The Jews started it. It's like a guy who you start come into his home and you're starting to kill his family members and you kill his daughter. Then he rises up and kills you, and you get that on TV, and you see that man killing the man who killed his daughter. That's all you see.
Yeah.
You think that man looks vicious. Oh, look at him. He's ripping his head off and all that. He's murdering that man. Oh, yeah. It's just killing.
Yeah.
Look what happened. I always told this story years before when I was in New Jersey, and some lady, woman came in, and she was screaming and crying. She was stabbed by this other lady. Two women were fighting in the middle of the street, and she was bleeding. Call the cops. Call the cops. Look what she did to me. I says, well, I don't know who did what, who's guilty. I don't know who's innocent. I'll call the cops. Well, I'm not taking any sides on this issue. It turns out that the woman that was stabbing her, she went in and stabbed her baby in the crib and almost killed her. My point is, killing could be just or it could be murder. You got to get the whole picture. What's the picture here? They go in and start building more settlements in East Jerusalem. They already occupied and they were building more places in Gaza on the West Bank. And so when they strike back, Israel pretends they're defending themselves. A lot of people can see this now. Obama even did not left the meeting, and it was a private meeting in the White House, and left the room for a half hour. He's going to get it.
Yeah.
He's going to get it. And Biden.
Yeah.
They're going to get it.
Yeah.
You watch the power. I'm praying for these guys to keep standing up against them.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you right now, Obama, Biden, Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all these people are at least condemned this rightly. The only true hope for you to be able to stand up against this beast is to come into the Catholic Church and take the full correct stance. If not, they're going to eat you up alive.
Exactly.
And they are.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton even knows what they did to her husband on the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Yeah.
You think the Jews didn't know about the Monica Lewinsky thing long ago? They used it because her husband wouldn't meet with Benjamin Netanyahu at the airport, and he wasn't conceding to some of the Jewish demands, and so they went against Bill Clinton like a fury. And it went through the whole world. They have all this blackmail on people that they just wait to use. And I know Hillary's getting back at him now a little bit, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
You even had Benjamin Netanyahu. Didn't he say something about how he was joking about Bill Clinton and all that?
You heard that?
Yeah, he was joking about it and all that. And he was real happy because they set it up.
Yeah,
they're either going to use blackmail against you, they're going to take your money away, they're going to assassinate you, they're going to impeach you.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Clinton knows what I'm talking about, and so does Hillary. They know.
Yeah.
They're afraid. I'm telling you, the only way out is to listen to what I am telling you by coming into the true Catholic Church and taking the full and correct position. And then you'll have all the weapons you need to fight against this monster.
Yeah.
And I will warn you that the United States is evil from day one also. She is a harlot. You have to accept that fact, that God is going to allow the Antichrist to destroy the United States. It's in Apocalypse 18. You just read the book. That's how Antichrist comes. He has to finally take this harlot down. He used her. He has no more use for the harlot. And he's going to just destroy her. It's destined to happen. And for the Jews to come to power and the Antichrist to reign, he has to do what this bastard just did by claiming complete occupation of Jerusalem. And then they're going to even build a temple. This is all what's up in front. Now, I gave you a little primer on this during this brief sermon. But I'm now going to start reading from my book, which has been posted up on the website for quite some time now, called Against Zionism. I highly recommend anybody to read that book. And I tell you, if you want to be saved and even to know what's going on, you better read that book. And if you don't like reading, I'm going to start tomorrow reading from it in an audio. You can listen to it on audio tape. I have all the proofs of what I just said here, and I go into even more detail. I talk about how the Freemasons are also helping the Jews, or the number one people under the Jews that helped the Jews come to power, the bastard Freemasons, the rabid anti-Catholics. And this is going to all be covered, and I'm going to starting tomorrow on Easter Tuesday, I'm going to start reading from that book until I finish that book, and it's going to be on audio. So this is a little to understand that the statement that this man made, and I tell you, you have no right to Jerusalem. You have no right to East or West Jerusalem. You have no right to Israel. You have no right to even one centimeter or any centillion of Israel. None. Zero. And neither do the Muslims. God allowed the Muslims to occupy to punish bad Catholics. They have no right neither. So I'm not defending them neither. But in this case, when it comes to the lesser of the two evils, we will take the Palestinian side. Because we know that the greatest evil right now is the apostate Jews in Israel that are coming to power. And if us Catholics had occupation of Jerusalem, we would not allow the Muslims, nor the Jews, nor the Protestants any public worship. But we wouldn't kill them. We would tolerate their presence, but they'd have to practice their false gods and false religions in their own home. No mosques, no synagogues, no temple, No Protestant churches would be allowed if it was a Catholic state. And when Catholic states don't do stuff like that, that's why they no longer become Catholic states, and they lose power, which has happened today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.